Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this Tuesday morning. A very weathery Tuesday morning.
Yeah, weathery.
As just indicated by Ray's report. We're going to have to take our first break after
that. Yeah, well, day is young.
Absolutely. So hopefully you are safe where you are and you'll stay with us for a little while. We welcome you to be a part of our conversation, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, or you can go to WAMC.org/roundtable and post your comment there on our website. Let me introduce our panel to you. WAMC's Alan Chartog is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Also, Ray Graff is
good
here.
Good morning.
Our WAMC's very own Ray Graff is here.
Good morning.
Rosemary was supposed to be here.
Really?
Yeah.
And no. she was?
Yeah. Yeah. And she was coming from wherever she was coming from. I don't know that we're allowed to say.
No.
And
otherwise we'd have to be killed.
Right. And quite frankly, I'm not sure we even know, really. And
it involves a bus and a hovercraft, and that's all we know.
It's a great segue into that CIA report.
Yeah, it does. It does involve a bus. So she got in late last night she made it to Kennedy, but couldn't make it to Albany in time. Yeah. And she doesn't expect to roll until about 11, so that doesn't do us any good. So hopefully she'll be here tomorrow. But in the meantime, Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain joins us. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Always nice to have you here, and Mike,
thank you.
Today is his normal day, even though he's been with us for the past three.
I caught him out in the parking lot doing his Times Union business on the cell phone. Out in front of his car.
Were you editing? Were you associate editing?
I was just talking to somebody.
Yeah.
I was listening real carefully to see if we were getting scooped on something.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's weather out there, actually. I was reporting firsthand. It's, you know, drizzling, freezing rain is falling here along Central Avenue in downtown Albany.
My only advice on that, and I know we're going into a place I probably shouldn't, is little baby steps. The older you get, the smaller your steps.
That's true.
Good advice.
When you walk up the sidewalk, you look a lot like Vinny the Chin Gigante now. You take the small steps. All you need is a bathrobe. The small steps.
I thought you'd never remember.
Muttering.
I thought you'd never remember.
Good advice.
All right. Little improv theater there.
There you go.
Yeah. The White House is, let's start with this. Mike talked about it. alluded to it just a moment ago, and it's I think not only scary but a fascinating story all the way around, and how it's being released and covered and reacted to, with a long-awaited Senate report on the use of torture set to be released today. The Obama administration and the Republicans are clashing over the wisdom of making it public and the risk that it will set off a backlash overseas. So here's what we know for sure. The United States has put diplomatic facilities and military bases on alert for heightened security risks. Administration officials say they do not expect the report, or rather the declassified executive summary of it that will be released this morning, to ignite the kind of violence that killed four Americans at a diplomatic outpost in Benghazi, Libya, in 2012. Such violent reprisals, they said, tend to be fueled more by perceived attacks against Islam as a religion than by violence against individual Muslims. The New York Times continues to report, but some leading Republican lawmakers have warned against releasing the report, saying that domestic and foreign intelligence reports indicate that a detailed account of the brutal interrogation methods used by the CIA during the George W. Bush administration would incite unrest and violence, even resulting in the death of Americans. Former Vice President Dick Cheney, we want to get to this, added his voice to those of other Bush administration officials defending the CIA, declaring in an interview Monday that its harsh interrogations a decade ago were, quote, absolutely, totally justified, and dismissing allegations that the agency withheld information from the White House or inflated the value of its methods. That's a lot, what I just read. A lot of stuff. So where would you like to begin?
With Ray.
Why me?
Why not?
Well, I haven't seen the report, nor
it's
have you.
It's being released today.
Yeah.
That's an interesting
with
point.
Mike.
Everybody is talking about the revelations in this report. Do you think there'll be anything in there that'll really surprise anybody? I mean, isn't pretty much all of this kind of assumed that the U.S. engaged in this waterboarding and other kinds of torture to get Al-Qaeda suspects to talk after 9/11? Is anyone surprised?
I had a friend who used to say to me all the time, people can believe it, they can believe it, they can believe it, and they can believe it, but when you say it, that's different. And now there are a couple of things here. One, is it smart for the Senate, basically Democrats, to release this report? In other words, I suspect there will be consequences as a result of this. On the other hand, the United States engaged in behavior which we abhor in other places. We talk about how, you know, we don't like countries that torture. And while you can fool around with the word, when you shove somebody's head in a toilet bowl or, you know, in water and hold it there, you're torturing them. That's what waterboarding is. On the other hand, you go back to what the Cheney people are saying, we just lost a couple of buildings, thousands of people. This is justified on that basis. On the other hand, out they come and they say, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Yeah, there's a couple different issues. One is whether it's justified given the attacks that were on 9/11 and thousands of Americans killed, civilians, innocent civilians killed.
Right.
You know, whether it was justified. And then the other is, does it work? John McCain, a conservative Republican, is... Who was tortured himself when he was a prisoner of war in the Vietnam War in Hanoi. He is very much against it because he says it doesn't work. So one thing is whether it's morally justifiable, and the other is, given the fact that it doesn't work, why do we even bother?
So if one life could be saved as a result of, one child's life, let's just say, as a result of this, would it be worth it?
Well, you get into those situation ethics where you don't know the answer and you can't answer it, but you can only speculate, and certainly many people have speculated it was worth it.
Well, hey, Cheney says he has not read the report. He does call it a bunch of hooey.
Stopped him before.
Is that a direct quote?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, okay. It is a direct quote.
All right.
However, now he adds a political angle to this that says, and I'll quote here, I believe it's from the New York Times. Yes, indeed, from the New York Times. Cheney suggested that the Democrats on the Senate committee were trying to rewrite history to absolve themselves of their own involvement as legislative overseers by essentially pointing the finger at the CIA, saying they misled us.
Well, first of all, it wouldn't be the first time. But second of all, overseeing is not doing. You know, overseeing can be, you're supposed to be in a position to say this is wrong, or we've been given confidential information. And I don't like the way that's all set up anyway. You know, they have to keep their mouths shut after they're given this information. And that doesn't seem that kosher to me, I'll tell you right now, because if you're doing the oversight function, part of it is to be able to report to the American people what's going on. And if you're told you can't open your mouth after you come out of these classified sessions, you create a great risk, personal risk for yourself, legal risk.
There's a Q&A section that the New York Times did, and one of the questions that they asked there is, don't we already know a lot about the CIA interrogation program, which you just asked, Mike?
And which I just answered. Remember when I said, you can say, you can know it, you can know it, you can know it, and when you make it official, and let's see whether, since everybody knew it, I'm sorry, Joe, but let's see if the fact that everybody knew it is sufficient without having a tremendous outcry around the world as a result of this. That's all I'm saying.
An examination of 6 million internal CIA documents costing more than $40 million is by far the most thorough study of the program to date, but a great deal about the program has already surfaced through leaks, Freedom of Information Act requests, a review by the International Committee of the Red Cross, and the official release of limited information. We know the list of enhanced interrogation techniques the agency used, including the suffocation treatment called waterboarding. We know the identity of the two military psychologists who designed the methods. We know the names of many of approximately 100 prisoners the CIA has said passed through the secret prisons. And we know at least some of the countries where the jails were located, including Thailand and Poland. So that's a lot that we do know. And then there's also the question of why the report has taken so long. And some of that has gone back and forth with Senator Dianne Feinstein, who has said that she wanted more information. A lot of it was redacted. They wanted she wanted more information out. There was a lot of going back and forth on that.
And it'll still be redacted. I think we get a fraction of the 6,000-page report.
Absolutely.
Which will be released.
Yeah, but they've been working on a compromise of what would be public and what wouldn't be. So that's been a going back and forth for some time. In August, the CIA produced a heavily redacted version of the report summary for public release. Senator Feinstein, the Intelligence Committee's Democratic chairwoman, objected that far too much was blacked out. The two sides have been negotiating a compromise since then.
James said, like someone said, I don't think we will be surprised with what this report will say, but I think we don't really care because we know that in capital letters, nothing is going to happen. No changes, no changes. We, the country that pride and boast about human rights, we do just the opposite to people outside this country and inside, apparently, in parentheses. The USA is not the great country I learned about in middle and high school anymore. Sad, very sad. And Tom says, if nothing else, torture was used for revenge. And Irene says, Bush 43 and Cheney, that's the way I like to pronounce it, should have been impeached. What went on during their time in Washington was an abomination.
You know, having this come out, the Senate report and then the CIA response and the Cheney response, et cetera, I think you could look at it as a step, I mean, an informal way to do it, but a step towards getting all the information out there and clearing the air. And, you know, it's part of the reconciliation process. I don't think America should be proud of what happened in the immediate aftermath of 9/11. But getting it out there and acknowledging it and then, studying it and looking at it from the many years later that it has been is part of the reconciliation that might have to happen.
Well, wasn't the whole point, Alan, to decide whether there was a crime here, whether torture was a crime, and wasn't that part of this? I mean, it seems highly unlikely that the Justice Department will do anything. It seems highly unlikely that any charges will be filed. Yeah. But wasn't that part of the reason of doing the whole report?
And to get right to Mike's point, will anything change? You know, you say, well, it happened then. Is it still happening? Do we know that it's happening? We do know that you have some strange doings in Guantanamo, for example. We just don't know.
Well, if there's an outrage because of the revelations and the documentation that supports the suspicions that we already had, it could lead to some changing of U.S. law. I mean, one of the parsings that the Justice Department has is that if it happens in a country where it isn't illegal, even though it's U.S. agents doing it, or people on behalf of the U.S. doing this torture, it's not actionable by U.S. law. You know, that's been some of the tortured language used. But maybe now that will be changed. Maybe Congress will,
That's exactly what I was just about to say. Right. Do any of you think that perhaps this came out now, right before the Congress changes its, the Senate changes its leadership and its composition?
Well, it wouldn't come out.
By the Democrats. Yeah, I mean, I think that that's certainly part of it. I keep thinking about names like Ex Parte Milligan, Korematsu versus the United States. We've made plenty of mistakes in the past. And after the fact, you know, we go back and revisit and say, I guess we shouldn't have done that.
Let's take a break, and we'll do a quick underwriting break. We'll come back and read a letter or two, and then we'll go back to the BBC at 9:30. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from Ta-Da, offering an assortment of toys, gifts, games, retro candy, and novelty items for children and adults in Stuyvesant Plaza and the Clifton Park Center. The Joan Stewart School, Rensselaer, New York, an early childhood through grade 12 co-educational day school, emphasizing creative and critical thinking, social responsibility, and discovery for more than 150 years. JoanStewart.org. And Sundog Cider at Sulaqua, locally produced hard cider from New York Hudson Valley apples, unfiltered, naturally gluten-free, handcrafted at a revitalized solar-powered mill in Chatham, New York. SundogCider.com.
Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. We welcome your comments and letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. You can also post your comments online for all to see. wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable.
You were saying something interesting in the break there, Ray. What was that?
Well, I thought that this report is mainly about whether the CIA misled the administration leading up to this campaign, whatever you want to call it, enhanced interrogation or torture, whatever you want to call
misled, or was, or the question as to whether it was criminal or not.
Well, I think the question was whether they misled the administration about what they were doing.
What actually was being done.
Cheney, and quoting here again for the New York Times, says, "The program was authorized. The agency did not want to proceed without authorization, and it was reviewed legally by the Justice Department before they undertook the program. I suggest we'll hear much more about that angle than the actual methods, which, we, as Mike said, we've already heard."
I suspect we're going to hear a great deal about the methods, Ray. I think the two things...
We already heard it.
Well, you may have already heard it, but, you know, there are some basic things the American people don't hear. And I don't think that the American people all knew it. I think when you put it on a piece of paper and you say we did these things, and you get a national debate, including John McCain, as you mentioned, a few minutes ago. It does bring it home, and it does get to the national conscience as to whether or not this is acceptable behavior for a society to be engaging in.
The Obama administration stopped it, though, several years ago.
Well, I don't have any great faith that I know what was going on and is going on, the extent of it, you know, at that time.
Right on. It's really hard to know.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this BBC News update. You can write to us, roundtable@wamc.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable.
I heard that.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. This is the season of peace and love and joy, and we're exhibiting it in this studio right now. Yes. We welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Ray, how's it looking out there? You want to give us a forecast?
Well, I'd love to tell you about the winter storm warning, which is in effect until Thursday morning at 7 for the western and southern Adirondacks, Mohawks, Schoharie Valleys, eastern Catskills, Helderbergs, and the Lake George region. Also, a winter storm warning until 11 o'clock, from 11 o'clock this morning until 5 p.m. for the northern Adirondacks, as well as central and southern portions of Vermont. We have a winter weather advisory in the greater Capital District until midnight, as well as the northern portions of the Mid-Hudson Valley, northern and central Taconic, Saratoga, Glens Falls region, and the Berkshires and southern Vermont. So, you know, take it easy on the roads, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Don't go out if you don't have to.
Right.
Stay cuddled up in your home or wherever you may be.
Sit there by the fireside bright.
And be with us and listen to us talk about torture reports and the like.
Good times.
So, Alan, we have letters.
We have a couple of letters here, if I can find them, from Henry. I am a supporter of President Obama, but I am concerned about the publication of this report in the context of what is going on with ISIS. This could be inflammatory. And Jay.
Can I just point out that they hate us already?
Yeah.
Could it be worse? Could they hate us more?
Well,
Alan, you pointed out that this becomes a document that they can rally their troops with. You know,
I hear what Ray is saying. They are disgusting, vile creatures. But they will, as you say, Mike, use whatever they think can be inflammatory on their part at a particular moment. And I think that sums it up, I guess. Jay Van says, the GOP is concerned about overseas backlash over the release of the torture report. Since when is Crawford, Texas, overseas? Alan, as far as the Dems leading on the report release now only slightly benefits that party, they would have amassed greater benefit had the report been released prior to the November elections. Okay, and James says, I don't know if I read this or not. Obama may have stopped these tactics, but I have not seen or heard anything that says someone can continue them later on. Anything on that?
All right. And is that it?
Well, there may be one more here. I'm tired of hearing comments that say people miss the great old America, old great America. America has always had its issues. Slavery, the Philippine War, treatment of Native Americans, treatment of immigrants. Things may be bad today, but it was just as bad, if not worse, yesterday. We shouldn't dwell on the negatives, but at least we should remember them. Eric, that's from Eric. I don't think I agree with you, Eric. I think it's important for all of us to talk about all of these subjects as they are happening and not to sort of just put them out of the way and not, quote, dwell on it. So that's where we disagree, I think, on that one. And Margaret says, some feel that protesting has been revived. 2015 will see protesting as commonplace on a myriad of issues. I, for one, am glad to see it. We are not lemmings. That answers James, I think, to some degree. And I guess that's it, except that Valerie points out there's a parking ban on from 12-9-4. I don't know what that means.
What municipality was it?
Burlington.
Burlington.
Oh, okay. So for our listeners
in
Burlington.
If you live in Burlington, be careful about where you're parking. And if you live in Great Barrington, where I live, the nighttime parking ban is in effect. You park on the street, you're going to get a ticket. Period.
Going to get you a helicopter, do some traffic reports for us.
We welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org. If you'd like to tell us where you have to park during the storm, we'd love to hear it, roundtable@wamc.org, wamc.org. And all right, so let's talk about the GOP. This was a story that's been on the front page of the Post, Washington Post, New York Times. Is interesting as to the 2016 presidential election. Yes, we're talking about that. Efforts by potential Republican presidential candidates to win over wealthy donors have set off a series of contests for their support that could stall the GOP race for months. In Florida, allies of former Governor Jeb Bush and Senator Marco Rubio are tussling over many of the same donors. In Texas, bundlers are feeling pulled by Bush, Governor Rick Perry, Senator Ted Cruz. Perry and Cruz are also competing for the backing of the wealthy evangelical Christians, as are Indiana Governor Mike Pence, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, and former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. All right, so despite the appeals which have stepped up in recent weeks, many top donors have committed to being noncommittal, wary of fueling the kind of costly and politically damaging battle that dominated the 2012 primaries. Senior party fundraisers believe that most campaigns will not be able to fully set up their fundraising operations until at least the spring.
And then I saw a piece in the paper on the other side, on the Democratic side, where Elizabeth Warren is being pushed by the major
progressives,
left, progressive folks to get into it. This is all early skirmishing. I don't think Elizabeth Warren can win a presidential election, although I greatly admire her. But I do think that you find people putting their toe into the water and wondering whether any. Here's a mixed metaphor: you put your toe in the water and you wonder if anybody salutes. Get
yes,
it?
That is.
Yeah,
a mixed metaphor.
That is saluting the toe, as it were, which I think is one of my passwords. Oddly enough.
Well, they're worried. I think a lot of the big donors are worried that. What they'd like to do is just sort of decide among themselves who's going to get the money.
Well, that's what happened with George W. Bush, right? Everybody got together and said, this is our guy, this is our guy, this is our guy. We're going to put all the money. And it was just a coronation. Here you go, electorate, nominate this guy.
Which is why I think Jeb Bush becomes the leading candidate, because he's a Bush. And because the Bushes have won twice already, there's a dynasty going on. He's a fairly soft-spoken fellow compared to some of the more volatile other guys. You know, if one were putting money on it right now, I would say...
Have we piqued your curiosity or your interest?
If one were putting money on it, I'd say it's going to be Hillary versus George Bush.
Jeb Bush.
Yeah. So the
two names that are quite familiar to Americans, Clinton and Bush.
Yeah.
So
competing dynasties.
The question being, on both sides, you have a hesitancy of both candidates to actually come forward and say, all right, we're in it.
Why should they? I mean, I think that's the whole thing.
Well, you can get all the money.
Well, I think they're already working on getting the money. I mean, I think that's the kind of subliminal stuff that's going on. But I think if you come in too early, you know, then it sets up a sort of target for other people. And I think Hillary is well aware of that, as I think Jeb Bush is. There's always been a mystery surrounding Jeb Bush, which is, why hasn't he done it earlier? Why didn't he go before George went, for example? He was the announced sort of heir, and the one that they were sort of pushing. And nobody
is Jeb older or younger than George W.
You know, that's a very interesting question. I think he's older.
Joe is going to find out that
answer. Look
up
right now.
I think he's older. But yeah. But I do know that the family considered him the one that, you know, could do it.
Well, they're certainly pushing. Well, his brother, the former president, is certainly pushing him and has been on interviews over the weekend thinking he'll be great, thinking he could do it, thinking he could beat Hillary. In one interview I saw, George W. Bush was noted by the interviewer that he had come to befriend Bill Clinton, almost like his brother from another mother or something like that. And they said, well, what would that make Hillary? And he thought about it and said, my sister-in-law.
There you go. You know, I'm sorry, Ray, but George Bush is 68, Jeb Bush is 61.
Okay. Looking at the two articles you sent to us as prep for this,
yes, sir.
New York Times and
the
Washington
headlines,
Post,
I think, are instructive here. New York Times, GOP donors seek to anoint a 2016 nominee early. The Post, Washington Post, a crowded GOP field for 2016 encounters donors reluctant to commit early. But the upshot of both articles is that there was an awful lot of money thrown around during the Republican primaries. Mitt Romney and all the others, there was a lot of money, and a lot of people put money on the non-winning horse. And what I get from this is everybody suspects fairly strongly Hillary is going to be the one. They don't want to do what Alan is so fond of saying the Democrats do, and that is a circular firing squad on their candidates. They want somebody who has all the backing necessary and the best shot of beating Hillary.
Well, you know,
and so there is but the question is, how long is too long to wait?
You know, thanks, Ray. That's good. I mean, but I think that what'd you say?
Well, that's all right.
That was good, I thought.
A little dismissive. Thank you. Oh, but I'll talk about something else now. What you're going to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
So go ahead. Go ahead.
I love you, Ray.
Disregard my flow and start your own.
No, I was responding to you, but I forgot what I was going to say.
Aha!
Chuck
Hughes!
No, what was the television ad that said, it wasn't Mr. Goodrich who said, you can pay me now or pay me later. It was the Colombian coffee bean guy who said, you know, you
Alexei
get...
Alexei Hente?
One of those guys. He said, you get what you pay for. And I think these guys think it's too early to put the money in because they don't know what they'd rather pay up when, you know, look, people give money to campaigns for a number of reasons. But the main reason is they want something back for it. They want something back for it.
Well, Sheldon Adelson, the Las Vegas, mogul who gave $20 million to keep Newt Gingrich afloat in 2012. And it backfired. And
was he able to write that off?
Well, I don't know whether he was, but the point was it hurt Romney and made Romney have to shift more to the right and lost, you know, some of his base and essentially the firing squad, Ray, that you just talked about. And a little editorial comment.
I apologize.
There. Yes.
Was that gas?
I was watching the Pay Me Now or Pay Me Later commercial. I apologize.
And who was it?
It was for oil filters.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Pay Me Now, that's right. I said so. Pay Me Now is Mr. Goodrich.
No, not Mr. Goodrich.
No?
No, but it's fine.
Pay Me Now or Pay Me Later.
Well, there seems to be an effort now among the big money donors to broker some kind of promise or an act where some kind of agreement where the candidates are not going to attack each other and give the Democrats fuel. You know,
and by the way, the Republicans, no matter what anybody says, are much better at that than the Democrats are.
Oh, they have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would seem the Democrats already have this set. I mean, you have this billionaire, longtime Clinton backer, and Haim Sabin, I don't know how you say his name, H-A-I-M, says he will spend whatever it takes to get her into the White House. It would seem that the big money is already on Hillary, so it seems like for... at least in this instance, it is reversed of what you usually say.
Well, but it was one last thing there, Joe. It was very interesting to see Hillary come out for fracking the other day. So in other words, can we do a transactional analysis here of some kind?
Well, I, for one, am very happy that they'll take care of it and we don't have to vote.
Ah, now there's social commentary.
They got it covered. That's good.
Well, if you got a billion, you can vote as well.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what Freud said about this, right?
What?
There is no joke.
Right. So to answer your question, Alan, it was Fram Auto Filters, oil filters.
But who was the spokesperson?
Some guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was for Fram.
But I was right in the general area that it was an automobile person. I'd like some credit for that.
Yeah, but you're going to wait.
I'll give you
just,
credit.
Just
for
go
that.
Back to the analogy: pay now or pay later. What is? How does that apply to this campaign of Republicans?
Well,
23, I think, looking possibly 23.
That's what they said. 20. But how many are the real strong candidates?
Well,
Jeb,
you got guys like Bobby Jindal, and you have Ricky Santorum is going to jump back in. So, I mean, there's a lot out there.
There are a lot of jokes out there, and of course, we should not forget the best of all of them, putting his toe into the water both in New Hampshire and in Iowa, George Pataki, who has decided that
24 of them, I think.
That he would like to be George Pataki, that he would like to run for president.
Well, the top are being identified as
Jeb, Christie, and Mitt,
and
right?
Mitt. That's exactly right. And Christie, just this past week, an investigation in New Jersey cleared him.
His
direct involvement in Bridgegate, and so maybe
he's a real heavyweight in this whole thing.
And we go to a break. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from Edward Garbaczyk, certified financial planner serving all of Western Massachusetts, providing customized financial retirement strategies for those approaching or in retirement. Ed at HavikanWealthStrategies.com. Capital Roots, formerly Capital District Community Gardens, announcing their new home at the Urban Grow Center. Grow, educate, provide, capitalroots.org. And Albany Symphony presenting The Winter's Tale by Michael Torkey, featuring Corelli's Christmas Concerto, Bach's Suite No. 1, and Stravinsky's Pulcinella, December 20th and 21st at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, albanysymphony.com.
Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. And we are here for, we have a few more moments and we want to get to some letters and then we'll tackle one more topic or so. And then we're good for the day. But Alan, what do we have in the mailbag?
Well, we've heard from Grace, who, according to Ali Soufan, chief FBI interrogator, our efforts at gathering vital information suffered a severe setback when Cheney insisted on using torture. The FBI refused to accommodate Cheney. He then placed the program in the hands of the CIA, an agency which had no experience in interrogation and completely bungled the issue. And then Wesley said, if waterboarding is not torture, and if it was a very productive means of gathering intelligence, as some claim, why did George Bush order an end to the practice? That's a very interesting question, because when countries engage in what would be seen by the in the world as bad behavior, usually it may float to the top. And maybe, I'm just suggesting for a moment, that George Bush did not want to be accused of, you know, running such a thing. I mean, it's a possibility, isn't it? And Kenner says, W is older. Yes, we knew that already, thanks to Joe's good work. And Steve says, this is a report on our, capital our, torture of innocents and guilty alike. They need to fear U.S. rather than vice versa. And that's from Steve. Everybody get that one?
Yes. We should be not afraid of our enemies, but they should be afraid of us.
Uh-huh. And Robert says, like tens of thousands of other Vietnam-era soldiers, I received electrical torture as part of my basic training. The torture does work with some people. That torture does work with some people is being questioned. If the CIA is not useful information from its torturing detainees, it was probably torturing the wrong people. And Maxine says, well, 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 now that we know that George W. Bush's legacy is a preemptive war on a country that had nothing to do with the 9/11 attack, the practice of extraordinary rendition and torture that has dragged the name of the United States through the sewer internationally, as far as I'm concerned, Bush is the worst president we ever had. And I guess that's it, Joe, yes?
Well, Alex, go ahead.
Hello, says Jane, roundtable. I was visiting relatives in Indianapolis last week, and my relatives received a work packet of information from Hillary. It includes a bumper sticker, a large car poster board, and other information. Just an FYI.
Wow.
YFU.
Well, I'll bet you, Alan, that was not from Hillary. No, it was from a committee, an exploratory
support, yeah,
committee on independent of Hillary did that.
I'm sure you're right. And I'm sure she's right, too. But anyway, just an FYI for you. Actually, WFYI in Indianapolis is a good station, too. Jane from POK. And John says, what benefits a man to gain the world but to lose his soul? Violence and division is all we gain from the dark side of man. In the process, America has lost its soul. This report is the first step getting it back. And Gary says, panel, if the 2016 POTUS candidates end up being Bush versus Clinton, voter turnout will be even less than the recent midterm elections. So much for democracy, huh? I don't think so. I think you'll get it'll be seen as a very competitive election, and you'll get a lot of people turning out. That's my own view on that. And I guess that's it.
We have, we just have a few moments and time for one more topic, and let me just go to the... there's a poll out, and I don't know, I guess can't find this overly surprising. However, it is interesting that they took a poll, USA Today, polled Americans, and they say nearly 3-1 say the white police officer responsible for the death of Eric Garner, an unarmed black man being arrested for selling cigarettes, should have faced charges from a Staten Island grand jury, according to the Pew Research Center and USA Today poll. Nearly 9 of 10 also say it would be a good idea for more police officers to wear body cameras to record their interactions. 3-1 says a lot, and you wonder if that will lead to even more changes, or at least investigations as to what we've.
When the public, by a margin of 3-1, disagree with the jurors, the grand jurors who got to see all the evidence behind closed doors, it does show that there's a gap between, a gap because of the grand jury system and the secretive aspects of it, and that Governor Cuomo was right in calling for some kind of overhaul in how the criminal justice system deals with cases where non-armed civilians are killed in interactions with police. And
remember, that was one which was on, as we used right. to say, film.
Yes.
So if there was evidence that
persuaded the jurors not to indict the officer in New York City, let's see it. I mean, that's the trouble with it being a secret process, and there needs to be some way for people don't trust it.
Transparency.
Our own New York Attorney General has a plan of his own. He'd like the governor to commission him to oversee these investigations until the legislature makes changes in the law that offer more credibility and trust. Not that the local DAs have skewed this, but there's a belief, 3-1 right here, that it wasn't, they disagree with the grand jury results. So something should happen to restore trust in the investigation system when a police officer is involved in the shooting of a civilian.
And Cal says, look what happens without Rosemary. You all start talking about motor oil and car parts.
Only one of us, really.
You know, I think we would have done that regardless of if Rosemary were here or not. But yeah. Whatever. She would have called us on it. That's true. But she's not here.
No. And soon we won't be here either.
That's right. Mike Spain, Ray Graff, Alan Chartok, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
The Roundtable continues after this break.